Hey everyone, as always, you're welcome into the Speak Up table, and up front, I want to give you an invitation to call into the studio today. Two reasons. First of all, you can call in and give us your input or give us your comment. You can do it anonymously. You can do it with the really great guy who's going to answer your phone call. You don't even have to be on the air if you don't want to, so that's a good thing. And also, we are giving away two free books, so two callers, if you get to us today, right now, you can get a free chicken soup for your soul called Attitude of Gratitude. How perfect is this for Thanksgiving week? Go ahead, get a copy of this book. It's free. It's for you, and you can give it to someone on Thanksgiving Day, or you can share it at your Thanksgiving table. It's a good thing. Attitude of Gratitude. Call 208-265-8255. That's 208-265-TALK-8255. So it's fun and it's free. It's easy. My guests today are Susan and David Bowman. They are members. They are founding members of the group Keep Bonner County Rural, which is endeavoring or seeking to help both our leaders and us and help our leaders make good decisions to maintain reasonable control and guide development and expansion in our county without losing the very qualities that we treasure. So we have a lot to learn from the Bowmans today and a lot to talk about. So let's get to it after this first break. Don't go anyplace. We'll be right back.
You like parties? Yeah, everybody likes parties. You like money? Who doesn't love money? What if we combined your love of parties with your love of money? Winner, right? Well, during November, the Kootenai Casino in Bonner's Ferry is holding a primetime Plinko party, where you can qualify during our daily hot spins to play Plinko and win cold, hard cash. And if winning money stresses you out, the spa at Kootenai is offering a 30-minute massage, express pedicure, and anti-stress facial, all three for $99. And because November is a party month, we've got amazing room specials in the Kootenai Falls Lodge. How about $79 for a weekday room Sunday through Thursday? Or just $99 for a room Friday or Saturday? It's Plinko Party Month at the Kootenai River Casino. So get up here, join the party, and win some Plinko cash. To book your November getaway, call 888-YOU-ARE-LUCKY or visit KootenaiRiverInn.com.
Hi, Jim Parker and Sonny at Parker Subaru. We have a huge selection of great Subaru vehicles in every color and model that are ideal during bad weather driving in the Northwest. A Parker Subaru has the excellent symmetrical all-wheel drive system capable of taking you through difficult terrain. They have higher ground clearance with additional protective body paneling to help reduce sand and salt corrosion that plagues vehicles in the winter.
Outbacks, Crosstreks, Foresters, and the Subaru Legacy deliver all-weather grip and handling. With symmetrical all-wheel drive, Subaru gives you the capability to escape no matter the season or destination.
Subaru vehicles are well known for long-lasting reliability and rigorous safety standards. Plus, there's our unique, no-problem way of doing business.
Every new car sold during the Subaru Share the Love event, Subaru will donate $250 to purchaser or lessee's selected national and hometown charities. See Parker Subaru or Subaru.com for details.
For sales or service, visit us on the web at ParkerSubaru.com or at our beautiful dealership. Parker Subaru, Highway 95 in Dalton, in Coeur d'Alene.
Wow, look at these Black Friday deals on TV. Samsung, Sony, and LG at the lowest prices of the year, even on their top-rated models. Now we can get that top-rated Samsung we were thinking about, but we'll need to get up early on Friday.
These are great deals, but why wait? Video Only has all these deals right now. We can get what we want today, and they're even offering no-interest financing.
So we can get these Black Friday deals right now at Video Only and pay it off later?
Yep, and many of their prices are better than those flyers.
Better than Black Friday? No wonder Video Only got those high scores when they rated TV stores. Let's head over now and beat the crowds.
At Video Only, you won't find huge stores with refrigerators or dishwashers, but you will find the best deals on the best TVs, soundbars, and home theater systems. Shop around, but then make sure you visit Video Only, because if you don't,
you'll be sorry.
On Division North of Francis, Video Only.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Everybody, welcome back in. You know, we always have it going on here in the studio on our breaks. We are so grateful. I am very grateful that you're with us today. So say hello and welcome to Dave and Susan Bowman. Thank you for being with us today.
Hi, Barbara. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yes.
And thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks for having us, Barbara.
Yes. Well, let's start with something that I think everybody needs to understand, the definition, the purpose of Keep Bonner County Rural. Help our people, our listeners, understand what you're all about. Susan.
Yeah, so Keep Bonner County Rural was started by citizens that got together one day at Connie's and just decided that they had had enough of the overdevelopment and had enough of the county commissioners just doing what they want instead of what the people want. And so Keep Bonner County Rural just grassroots formed. And shout out to our board, Jonna Plant and Sherry Anderson and Doug Gunter and my husband, Dave Bowman. So, it's concerned citizens. It's the best of grassroots is how I look at it. And what we do is we go to hearings and we try to convince the commissioners who are at this point kind of unconvincible that they should be doing the people's work where development is concerned.
Right.
I just want to throw in one thing because we often get accused of being the people who came here from somewhere else and want to dictate how people can live and what they can and can't do on their own property and all that. And that's very, very far from the truth. And the group that formed in Connie's there was mostly people who've been here for a long time or even multi-generations. So our core is people, some of whom have been not here long. We've only been here for a few years. And some of are raising their fifth generation.
Right.
And they're equally joined for the same
purpose. Well, these kinds of values are not dependent on, I mean, you brought either whatever values you brought in, everybody brings in, or they've been here forever. And the idea is to keep the things we treasure about our area, even in an environment of some growth. I think it's important to, I think it's important to, I have a call coming in from my niece who's like a daughter, so it's taking me a while to hang up on her. Anyway, I think there are a lot of people who think that you are anti-development, that you'll just do anything to stop anything, and that's not the truth. You're pro-reasonable and common sense growth, right?
That would be correct, Barbara. And so just so, for the record, I am a planner. I've been a planner for a long time, and I moved here as a planner. And so one of the things that planners do is they fight for the property rights of all people, not just developers, not just citizens, but of all people. And so that is what KBCR is about. That's why I consult with them as a planner, because it is an organization that fights for the property rights of all people. And it's kind of like a we the people thing. That's what KBCR is. We aren't about let's stick it to the developers, you know, and we're not about let us do whatever we want to do anywhere we want to do it at any time we want to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah, so planning is just, it's in the word. It's planning, right? And so what we're planning for now is going to affect us about 20 years down the road, if not longer. And so, you know, the property rights issue is one that comes up a lot, right? Because the people that on the development side are screaming, you're taking my property rights. And then the people on the KBCR side are saying, well, what about our property rights?
Exactly. You know, I think a lot of people, I've heard people talk about on one side, and I hate the side and that it turns out that way, but developers, realtors, and to a certain extent, our local governments, city and county, feel like they're on one side. And then people, neighbors, other property owners that have concerns, they're on the other side. And really, we all know that what works best is you get together and you work together. But when big money is on one side, and there is a lot of money going down in Bonner County right now, it's a difficult argument to make against all that money.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, when we first, when KBCR first got together with the attorney that we use now, that we have on retainer, because every time we turn around, we're getting drug into another case. Oh. And and we've worked with actually two, but the one that's our primary one, he said to me the first time we spoke, he says, you guys need help up there in Bonner County. You should not have to be fighting your elected officials every day to get them to do the people's work.
Right.
And yet you're in this battle with them constantly.
Right. And just to reiterate, it's the people's work is not to stop development.
No.
It's to control it in a way that's reasonable and progressive, but progressive in a healthy way.
It's to do it within the law, really. I mean, that's what we – and so what happens is they go out of their way to find ways to interpret the law in ways that will, because none of these laws are written perfectly. They've all got little, you know, in any law that gets written in any jurisdiction, you're going to, after it's written, you'll think, we missed this thing or we should. And instead of working to correct those things, they go to find how they can get those interpretations twisted in ways that will benefit those who want to come in and develop, you know.
They're called loopholes.
Well, yeah, but sometimes it's just the law, it can be interpreted one way or interpreted another.
Yeah.
And you would think that elected officials would interpret on behalf of the people when, in fact, they pretty
consistently. Or balance.
Yes.
Balance it. Yes.
But there
balanced.
Is no balance. They interpret on behalf of developers.
So what are we protecting? I was sitting down this morning making a list of some of the things. I thought, what is Keep Bonner County Rural Protective? And I came up with a list, but what would be on your list? The first thing I listed would be forests and trees. Areas, kind of our natural environments. As we push out, we always push out with more parks and green belts and different things into areas. We're going to get to infrastructure. Okay, that's going to be a separate category. But what else is on the list that we're protecting?
Yes, that's a great question. And it really, again, comes back to good planning. Because what you're protecting is the quality of life. Now, that's not something that's easy to put your finger on. Mm-hmm. But here in this county, what the people have spoken loudly that they want is wide open spaces, agriculture.
Yes.
They don't want the traffic. They don't want overcrowded schools. They don't want sewage plants overflowing. That's what we're protecting. We're protecting our quality of life because everything that you do in planning, you can draw a line back to the quality of life. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, basically, is what we're protecting when we are doing good planning. And good planning isn't happening at the county level right now.
Or the city,
opinion. Yes, I would agree with that as well. And what's the problem with that, Barbara, is that you won't see the effects of that until we're already in the traffic.
It'll be too late.
And our kids will be overcrowded in their schools and so on and so forth.
And crime and litter. I mean, go drive down any county road now.
Exactly, how they're changing.
And there's going to be beer cans along the road. Well, that didn't used to be that way.
Yeah. I went to a meeting at the library, if you can believe this, and it was like a community vision meeting for the library. What was the number one thing when the question was said, what do you want for your community? What is it that you would put top of the list? They said safe communities. Crime was on their mind at a library meeting, like the library board, but they understood that these were the people really sitting there, and there were probably 50 people there expressing the number one thing was safe. They wanted their kids to be safe, they wanted to be safe, and they felt like such an influx of people in terms of traffic and crime is challenging the safety. You said something, Susan, that was on my list. I wrote adequate and planned parking. I mean, an adequate and safe planned traffic patterns. I don't see that happening at all.
No, it isn't. And the county really should be working very closely with the state, for example, you know, so that they don't overcrowd the state highways as well.
Yeah.
There is no cooperation going on right now whatsoever. And in fact, traffic is not even on their radar at all. They don't really care that if you're going to, you know, put in a gigantic parking lot somewhere, what kind of traffic that's going to cause for the people.
Yeah.
They don't care.
One example I have that hits close to home, where I live off of Highway 2, there were two big lots that were undeveloped. Then it was the forest. And there were trees. It was completely treed. And both lots have been sold to two separate developers. And the first thing they did was clear cut. They cut down every tree. There was no requirement from, I think it's the city, yes, that they would maintain or that there was an aggressive landscaping program or whatever. On one side, it's going to be luxury condos and the other side, apartments. And they just clear cut. And I've seen plans and there are just a few scrubby little trees. You know how an architect draws a little tree, but, you know, so, you know, it's just like, why didn't they write in requirements for landscaping to keep it beautiful, to put trees between the highway and the development and cut down on the number of units so there could be some grace there in terms of vegetation. And, you know, they didn't do it.
Yeah, and again, from a planning standpoint, what I'll say about that is that that, again, goes to good planning or not good planning. So the rules that you make around that as a planner in your planning department, that's going to determine how many trees will stay or won't.
Or how big the trees are going to be. They're going to replant smaller trees that are going to take 25 years or 20 to get up to that height that's so beautiful when there were already trees there. I mean, I understand they had to, you know, clear cut in the middle for that, but there were boundaries around that they could have maintained some of these beautiful mature trees safely.
Yes, you know, yes, and there are ways to do that. And it's what you're seeing is the slow urbanization of the rural places.
Yeah, over-urbanization. Mm-hmm. All right, we are almost ready for it, but I want to introduce our next topic because, oh, first of all, let me repeat. Hey, everybody, 208-265-8255. I am giving away two books. Come on, give us a call. I want somebody to call. I want somebody to get this book. You are listening to me out there. Somebody is out there, right? Dave is going to call here in the studio. I like it. Go for it. Come on, you're listening to my voice, and I'm giving away this book, Attitude of Gratitude. You'll take it to your Thanksgiving table, and it will be a blessing for you and all the people there. So come on, 208-265-8255. I want that phone to ring. All right. So infrastructure. I talked to city candidates a couple of years ago. I talked to county commissioner candidates just this last spring. And every one of them emphasized infrastructure, but I don't see it happening. I mean, I realize they were candidates and not all got elected, but talk to us about infrastructure, how key that is.
Well, the thing that, as the development happens now, it infrastructure isn't keeping up with development, and then developers come in and increase the burden on law enforcement, on traffic, on schools. Schools can't do impact fees, but other they can be assessed on developers. Excuse me, and then the burden gets put on the taxpayers that are already here who most for the most part don't. You'll find very few people out there in the county who want a lot of development.
No.
I mean, it's in the comprehensive plan.
Majority
they
want
the rural character.
Yeah.
And I'll just digress for a little bit back on the property rights, because there is nowhere in the law, in the Constitution, in LUPA, in local law, anywhere that says we are obligated to make development happen so that people can come here. Dan McDonald has personally said repeatedly, and I've gone to task with him on this, that if we don't develop the county's properties within the county to make room for people to come here, then we are violating their. I mean, he even said their constitutional rights. I mean,
that's crazy.
But infrastructure. So what really should be the infrastructure that's required to accommodate new development, the cost of that should be assessed on the developers.
Exactly. You know, the thing that in listening to that, you know, it's, you know, we have to provide. To me, I was a manager for many years at a large urban Southern California university. And I would say anybody on this team that walked into my office and they had an either or situation, that was the end of the conversation until they went back out, because rarely is it either or. It you know, either we stop development completely or we just let anybody in as fast as they want and develop like crazy. Those are not the options.
One of the issues that comes up here repeatedly is that the density increases. So, you know, a lot of the county out there is 20-acre minimums. A lot of it's 10-acre minimums. And you've got these big parcels in a lot of cases, you know, 100-acre parcel. Well, they could subdivide legally within the law right now to five lots, right, at 20 acres each. But what's happened, and we have no objection to that. If someone owns, this is where we get mislabeled a lot. You know, if mm-hmm. someone wants to subdivide their property within what the law says now, have at it, please. You know, but what we have an issue with is someone coming in there and benefiting as a single landowner, a single person, property owner, to change the zoning for their particular property so that they can go to 10s or 5s where it is 20s now or whatever the case may be,
right,
to benefit just them. Right. At the expense of all the property owners.
And totally patchwork at that point.
Completely. In which case, why do we even have zoning?
Exactly. Well, we're up against a break. When we come back, I want to stay with this idea of infrastructure so the audience understands what is included in that and how important it is. And the other thing that I've been seeing and following some of the work of our county commissioners, it has to do with setbacks. It's like setbacks exist for a reason. It's like everyone is just, no, they don't like that setback. So, okay, you can change it. Am I exaggerating? I don't know. Let's see what Dave and Susan Bowman think. They're the experts in this area. So we're going to take a break, and we will be right back after this.
Come back to the ultimate rock Christmas tradition. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live in concert, Friday, November 25th, Spokane Arena. Millions have made this their must-see holiday event of the season. Tickets on sale now at ticketswest.com. Trans-Siberian Orchestras, The Ghosts of Christmas Eve, The Best of TSO and More. Produced by Live Nation.
It's the most wonderful Vibe of the year. Get Vibe's 105 meg fiber-rich internet for $25 a month. This season, enjoy internet with speeds up to 5 gig. You get the best streaming, gaming, and online shopping experience, and free install when you order online. Call or visit us online at vibebroadband.com to get internet starting at only $25 a month. Offer ends January 2nd, 23. Not available in all areas. Modem, certain installations, taxes, and fees extra subject to data plan. Visit vibebroadband.com for additional restrictions.
Yesterday, I traded in my Hyundai. Had a brand new car, but just for one day. I woke up this morning feeling kind of nervous. I looked outside and nearly lost my breakfast. You should have seen what the hail did to my Tundra. I slept right through the deluge and the thunder. The hailstones were the size of rutabagas. I should have kept my Tundra undercover. I stepped outside to check the damage to my paint job, and it looked like a thousand fisheyes staring right back at me.
Anderson's Auto Body.
Let's get something straight.
At the co-op, we get the farming, ranching, gardening, off-grid, do-it-yourself, and escape to the woods lifestyles. We understand farm animals, pets, honeybees, and wildlife. In our aisles, you will find housewares, clothing, animal health, hand and power tools, yard and garden supplies, plumbing and electrical products, and more. We can help you plant a garden. We can show you how to put in a fence, run a water line, establish a pasture, and catch the rain in barrels. We can show you what you will need to fasten a dealy bob to a whatchamadinget and hang up a doohickey. Our hardware selection is impressive. And when it gets cold outside, we can help you stay warm with wood stoves, energy logs and pellets, and propane options. So when it comes to propane, farm, home, and hardware, think Co-op Gas and Supply Company. We get this rural life like no one else. Come see us. The Co-op, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Hey everybody, welcome in. We are talking today with Dave and Susan Bowman. They're with Keep Bonner County Rural. What a great organization. And we're trying to clear up some of the misunderstandings about what they are actually, you know, in favor of and what they actually do, you know, and to get rid of some of the misrepresentations that have been made. But before we get there, I am just like happy feet around here because we had a caller, Elizabeth O'Meara. I am so grateful. You have got a brand new Chicken Soup for the Soul attitude of gratitude. And when Elizabeth was talking to us here in the studio, she said that she works with hospice people that are in hospice, and she plans to share this book with the people that that she works with. So, Elizabeth, congratulations. You can come by the station anytime and pick up your book. Congratulations. All right, Dave and Susan, I want to keep us here a little bit on the infrastructure issue and have you comment on some things that people might not think about, like hospital care and adequate health care. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, that is infrastructure that doesn't get talked about very much. So it's fire, it's EMS, in fact, you could extend that out really. Doctors, dentists, healthcare in those areas, and take that out to restaurants and stores even. I mean, we all know what's happened in restaurants around here. Half of them are closed 2 or 3 days a week. And I think a lot of doctors' offices are not taking new patients. Now, I don't really know that for sure, but I think they're impacted. Right. They're full up.
Yeah. That one, I hadn't thought of that, but I was thinking about, we have, at least the last time I counted, we had a 23-bed hospital. 25-bed hospital. And, you know, so I understand they're really emphasizing outpatient care, and I agree with all that. They're making decisions that that they're much more familiar with. But it just doesn't seem like that's adequate for where our county is going. And you know what, Susan, and both of you said, and this is what I want people to hear, it's not so much the here and now. I mean, okay, but it is 10 years from now when all this growth is coming in and the infrastructure is not also coming in ahead of it, we will be paying the price in 5 or 10 years or whatever the time frame is, maybe sooner than that.
For infrastructure and for values, right? The stuff
values,
that we're talking about before.
Yeah.
That we, you know, we, and having come here from a place that doesn't have the rural, I grew up in a small rural community, and then I ended up in the big city, and then I wanted to get back to my rural community roots. And being here is, I hate to leave. Those, you start to lose those values as your population increases.
All right, we have a caller on the line. Caller, you're on the air. What do you want to say?
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Hello, can you hear me?
Okay, caller, can you hear me? And you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I'm actually a natural resource planner and the landscape designer. I'm trying to put together up a which I'm trying to coordinate for springtime, speakers from the Fish and Wildlife biologists to come speak. So it helps give me more credibility for smart growth, like cluster development and appropriate areas that don't inhibit wildlife corridors. This whole area is, North Idaho is a wildlife corridor, but some more Pacific areas are more important than others, so to speak. And so I'm trying to coordinate so I can have a public meeting and have credible people besides myself speak. I'm up here in Boundary County, and so even more challenging up here. I don't know.
Yeah.
Even more challenging up here, too, because the attitude of, you know, property rights and all that stuff. So
I really appreciate your input. And let me encourage you that when we stop talking here on the air, I want you to give your name and your phone number to Pat. And because when you get that speaker in to talk about smart growth with wildlife in our radar scope, I want to do a radio show with you on that, with your speaker or leading up to your speaker or however that works out. So thanks a lot for your input. Really, really good input. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Bye.
So, bye-bye. So, yeah, he's a natural resource planner. I'm going to repeat this a little bit because we don't have earphones on our guests. Next, you know, if I'm going to start getting phone calls, we need headsets here, more headsets in the studio. Anyway, natural resource planner working with Fish and Game out of Boundary County, looking also from his angle on smart growth with regard to wildlife, that they are a resource that we treasure. You know, where I live, we had deer in those forested areas that were clear cut. There were deer in there all the time, raccoons. We have a moose that goes back and forth between a couple of different areas because we have a natural wetland area that goes through the development where I live. And development, this is like, you know, not a big thing, but and been around, but what is going to happen to that wildlife? Well, I think that everything's been clear cut. It's going to be very different for them.
Yes, I would like to speak to that because that is a big part of planning again. So habitat destruction is the biggest challenge for wildlife, of course, because if they don't have a place to go to eat and to roam and to, you know, bed down for the night, then they're going to disappear.
Yes.
And so I've always kind of been surprised that in this area, the hunters in particular don't band together and say, hey, we're kind of losing our wildlife here. But from a planning standpoint, that is, again, where you would go to, okay, the people have said they want to keep the wildlife. How do we do that? Good planning is built on data and analysis.
Yes.
So first of all, you'd go to Fish and Game and say, okay, what are the numbers? You know, how are they flexing back and forth with development? What are the challenges with development for those wildlife? You know, for elk, for deer, for whatever, right?
Fish.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that data is not being gathered by this planning department in the county. It isn't even being considered. And so without data and analysis, you cannot do good planning. Right. And so, yes, the wildlife will just disappear. This is what people don't realize. And what will happen is that will disappear before, and then you won't be able to get them back. Before you even know what's going on, they'll be gone.
You know, everything falls under that category. Once we lose some
of
the forest, you know, the trees that have been clear cut, everything that's going down, setbacks, you know, that are too close to the water and are going to run off, whether it's lawn fertilizer or whatever. They may have sewer under control, but all that green grass stuff people want to throw down, that's going to leach into the lake and the rivers and the ponds. And it will you cannot pull it back once it's done.
When I first met Susan and started learning a little bit, and I you know, she was a planner and that didn't really mean much to me. I was in a whole blue collar world. But when we came here, it started to sink in. But one of the things that she told me early on was that the profession of planning is that you are attempting, and you can't see the future, but you're going to attempt to look out 100 years. Or what are the ramifications going to be of the decisions that we're making today?
Yeah.
This planning department doesn't look into next week, right? Yeah. And in 100 years, you're not going to know, but you can at least try to predict. You're not predicting the future, but just envision what the ramifications might be. And then each year that goes by, you're still trying to do that. So that's an evolving process.
Right.
It's non-existent in Bonner County.
We're going to get into the specifics in the next segment. And so that's a good segue, Dave, into that. But, you know, my question might be, and you guys may not want to take this one on, but why is our planning, I mean, to me, why is our planning department not planning? Why are they not looking out 10, 25, 50 years? Our caller just said something really good, and he said, all of North Idaho is a wildlife habitat. He said, so, you know, no matter where we allow, as he was kept calling, smart growth, you're going to affect the wildlife. But as long as you know what their patterns are, like the data that you were talking about, Susan, then the better we can accommodate some smart growth and still protect our wildlife. What I don't get is why isn't our planning department thinking that way?
Because they should be renamed the Bonner County Permit Processing Mill.
Yeah. Yes.
They are not a planning department.
Right.
They're not run by a planner, and they answer to the commissioners who answer to developers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line.
That's the bottom line right there.
There's no planning going on.
Right. It's just process.
Permit processing mill.
In their defense, they do have to listen to the commissioners. So really, again, I always like to say fish rots at the head, right? And this is what's happening right now, is the commissioners are telling the planning department exactly what they want done.
Yeah.
And then the planners don't want to lose their jobs, so they do it.
Right.
That's what's happening.
Yep.
And we know that from you spoke that the idea is, well, the growth is coming. We have to get it in and get it done. And, of course, I disagree with that. All right. We are up against the last break. We're going to take it, but we have a lot more. So stay with us. And also, hey, listen, congratulations to Elizabeth on her book. I have another book. I have another Attitude of Gratitude to give away. I want to get this in someone's hands for this Thanksgiving week. 208-265-8255. Give me a call. The phone lines are open. Come on, you guys, give us a call.
Come back to the ultimate rock Christmas tradition. Trans-Siberian Orchestra, live in concert, Friday, November 25th, Spokane Arena. Millions have made this their must-see holiday event of the season. Tickets on sale now at ticketswest.com. Trans-Siberian Orchestras, The Ghosts of Christmas Eve, The Best of TSO and More. Produced by Live Nation.
Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet has added ReadyWise Survival and Emergency Foods to their line of food and storage supplies. They also feature preparedness and homesteading books and supplies, plus ammo and knives. And, of course, Grunberg Sloss carries U.S. and world coins, gold and silver, bullion, jewelry, and more. Open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5, located on Triangle Drive, just south of the Kootenai Cutoff Road in Ponderay. Grunberg Sloss Collector's Cabinet.
Who's hungry? Neil here from Auto Credit Sales. And this month, I'm serving up a heaping helping of deals. So right now, you could save up to $2,500 on a nicer, newer car based on the price of the car you pick. It's my feast of savings, and these deals are all gravy, baby. So if you're sick of your old ride, toss it like yesterday's leftovers. Come in today, and you could save up to $2,500 on a nicer, newer car you can sink your teeth into. Buried by past credit mishaps? My For the People credit approval process is the secret sauce you need. We gather around with all the banks and lenders who want to say yes to you. So, pull up a chair at my Feast of Savings, and you could save up to $2,500 on a nicer, newer car. But hurry, a deal this hot will cool down fast. I'm Neil, and I'm your dealer for the people. See all the cars at autocreditsales.com.
Credit requires bank approval. Negative equity may be refinanced. Vehicle purchase price determines actual discount. Offer absolutely expires November 30th, 2022. And don't ever say gravy, baby, again.
P1FCU's Ascend Checking is a simple free checking account that gives you the flexibility to earn dividends. Plus, get anytime account access with online and mobile banking, mobile deposit, and no minimum balance requirements. So, level up your finances with an Ascend Checking account. Learn more at p1fcu.org/ascend. P1FCU, your community, your credit union. Insured by NCUA.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in. We have got it going on about the organization called Keep Bonner County Rural. Two founding members of this wonderful organization are here with us today, Dave and Susan Bowman. And Susan, let me ask you, how do people connect with you, with the organization, if they want to donate, they want to volunteer, they want to get involved?
Yeah, thanks for asking, Barbara. So we do have a website. It's bare bones because we're all volunteers. And so any money that you donate will not go to any person. It will go only generally to lawsuits. But you can reach us at keepbonnercountyrural.com. Rural. You just spell it out, all one word, keepbonnercountyrural.org. And there's a contact form on there. And you can also give money through GiveButter off of that site as well. And we are about to do some fundraising, by the way, because we do have one lawsuit where we need to bolster the funds for that.
Well, give us a heads up here and we can announce that fundraiser here on the air, because it's not so much to promote per se from my vantage point, though I do, it's to let other people know if they want to support, because I'm thinking, you know, this conversation that our caller opened up about wildlife is something that people like hunters and fishermen have maybe not thought deeply about, and that's going to draw them in to, again, not to stop development, but to make it smart.
Do it within the law.
Do it within the law and make it smart.
Yes.
Smart for the elk, smart for us, and smart for the forests and the rivers and everything that we value, our way of life. All right, so if people want to donate, they want to get involved, they want to volunteer, they want to attend your meetings, keepbonnercountyrural.org will get you to their website. Yes, Susan, you had a thought.
No, that was good.
I just want to throw out one thing here that we have noticed that there are so many issues for us to get involved in. We basically, at this point, have just picked the most weighty ones, for lack of a better term. And what most people don't realize is this, the ones that we are fighting or that we get behind, while they are local to a particular area of the county, depending on which way they go when we're done in the courts, will affect everyone. Mm-hmm. And what we've experienced is, very few people want to get involved in this stuff until it affects them personally, right?
Right.
They're nowhere to be seen or found, and then something happens, you know, in the lot that's next door to theirs, and all of a sudden, well, somebody should do something. Well, the somebody, folks, is you.
Right, exactly. You know, it's never too late to get to the party, but get to the party.
Sooner is better than later.
You know, sooner is better than later.
And all of this stuff really affects
everybody.
What about
the case that you've got on affordable housing RV park that quadruples the density? What's going on with that?
Yeah, so first of all, I'd like people to imagine you living on your rural lot that you move to, you know, 5 acres or 10 acres or what have you. And then right next door, somebody moves in and buys the property and says, I'm going to put 20 RVs there. Would you like to live next to an RV park? Probably not. So that's what's happening down in the Blanchard area. And a property owner, he bought the property and then decided he was going to quadruple the allowed density. It's 5 acres there, but he will put 20 RVs on 4.17 acres. The Bonner County Commissioners were all for it, and the Zoning Commission were all for it. It does not meet the code requirements, and I think over 60 people came and spoke at the Zoning Commission alone, and so we have a really organized group down there. So KBCR will help groups when they're organized and they do their own fundraising. So that's what this group did. They're very, very organized. And the application, it says right on the application form that the RVs are affordable houses. Mm. That's what he's trying to put in there. So you can only imagine what that's going to be like. Year-round, affordable housing, RV park.
Yeah.
Right next to you. Do you want that next to you? You don't.
When RV parks are intended to be, you know, overnight stays or short stays.
Right.
And they should be near infrastructure, right? Should be near places that are either recreational in nature.
Developed,
exactly.
Or recreational.
Yeah. But
not
you don't put them out in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
And without any infrastructure
services,
nearby. And
right.
There's nothing to do out there recreationally. It's not like it's just not right outside of a national park or something where people might want to stay and go recreate.
What about the Skinner rezone that's still in court, 714 acres in the Selly Valley that was granted a doubling of the density? What's happening with that? Now, the reason we're doing some of this granular is so, listeners, you'll understand these are real lawsuits, real issues, and it may not be in your neck of the woods, but the precedence that's going to be set on these lawsuits and the work that's going down to try to manage this in a smart way – will affect you in the future. So Skinner Rezone.
Before Dave talks about the Skinner Rezone, I just wanted to finish up with the RV park, which, yes, by the way, is going to court. We will be filing December 12th. So that group hired an attorney. They raised the funds, and we will be taking that to court and winning.
Okay. All right. So we will watch for that.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, go ahead.
Skinner Rezone.
Okay. So just briefly, this is a case where, so that 714 acres in an area that is zoned 20 acre minimums, and this is a case where he could have created 35 lots and would have been within the law, could made a Santa sack full of money doing it, and we would have said, well, gee, we wish he hadn't, but it's his right to do.
It's within the law.
Absolutely. But instead, let's make 70 lots at 10 acres, right, without any thought to infrastructure or anything else. And so, and then the county commissioners, of course, rule with that in favor of this guy. So, okay, let's go ahead and rezone the whole thing. And it upset the people who live around there. And it's a very rural community, and people live there because they like it that way. So anyway,
So this is in court right now.
It's in court. The county. So the Skinner's attorney joined as an intervener. So we are asking for judicial review, and we're going against the county. Then Skinner came in as an intervener, and basically it's been Skinner and the county against KBCR and the neighbors there the whole way. So the first thing they did was, without getting too into nitpicky stuff, but they said that we didn't file timely, and that was because of this weird technicality in the law, and I won't go into detail there, but we filed for judicial review on 12 points because of what they did. That was the county and Skinner against us. We ended up with it where we can only file on 10, but that's okay. They're 10 valid points. Then they tried to file and say that KBCR doesn't have standing.
Well, these are attorneys. They're going to,
that's what they do. But
what they're
trying to do is drag us
do.
Through and delay and have us spend
right.
money.
Spend,
but the
spend,
hearing
spend.
The hearing will be in February. It's going ahead.
All right. And do you feel confident in this one?
Very. I think we
Excellent.
Have a super strong case.
So rezone.
That's why they've worked so hard to try to fight us.
So what, you know, gets me on this, and we are running out of time, we are just down to some seconds here, but on this rezone thing, I mean, the very nature rezone, they already could do 20 acres. They had 714. They could have done a beautiful development. Not that anybody would have probably liked it, but it was within the law. They had the right to do it.
Right.
But instead, they went for doubling the density,
yep.
And our county commissioner said, oh yeah, we're okay with that.
Yep, that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. All right, so I want to just repeat, we're talking today with Dave and Susan Bowman. You can reach out to them and connect with them, and keepbonnercountyrural.org is the way you're going to get to them if you want to get involved. And I'm telling you guys, I didn't have wildlife in my head this morning about elk and deer and fish and how our hunters and our fishermen, I think they need to be really putting their eyes on this. And so I encourage them to connect with this organization and see if it will meet some of your needs. All right. Can you believe it? That's the last word. Dave and Susan Bowman, thank you so much for being here. All of you guys, shout out to you. Thanks for being here. Next week, Sheriff Darrell Wheeler will be here. He wasn't feeling well the last time, but he is good to go now. And praise God for that. We have lots of questions. He's got lots of answers. We're going to focus in on the rising drug crimes and cartel activity in our area. You do not want to miss this show. So until then, this is Barbara saying, take care of yourselves, and may God richly bless you, my friends.